Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pineapple Pizza Podcast discusses the histories, cultures, and beliefs of regions around the world.
These stories often contain mature and sometimes disturbing content that may not be suitable for all audiences.
Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Pineapple Pizza Podcast, where we are serving up delicious slices of mythology, cryptozoology, and urban legends. It's an interesting combination of flavors. A bit weird, but it works. Today's special is Japanese cryptids, and I am your hostess, Emily.
And I'm Ashley.
And I'm Lindsay.
Hey.
This week, I am going to be telling you about some strange and terrifying Japanese cryptids. In traditional Japanese belief systems, everything has a spirit. Everything. Absolutely everything. Turtles, toilets, trees, tables, everything. Do you like my alliteration there?
I do.
Yeah, I thought you'd appreciate that.
That was nice.
Because of this, it made researching cryptids challenging. Because there really isn't such a thing as a cryptid for them, from what I can tell, because everything's alive. Mm-hmm. So everything has a spirit. Everything's a creature of some kind. There are Western ideas of cryptids, but for them, the creatures or demons or whatever are often just spirits or elementals taking another form. So for this reason, I actually wanted to discuss a few really cool creatures and spirits in Japanese lore. The first one that I wanted to talk about is one of Japan's most famous cryptids, and it's known as the Kappa. Have either of you guys heard of this?
Yep.
I hadn't.
I haven't actually, so I'm excited.
Apparently, it's in all kinds of pop culture stuff. So we've probably seen it and just we don't recognize the name.
Okay.
So it's a really funny, interesting, weird, and a little messed up.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Can't confirm.
Legends and stories of this creature it goes back centuries, if not further. They know for sure it goes back to like at least the Edo period, way back. I think they said at least to the 1500s. So that's even before the Edo period, because I think the Edo period was 1600s.
It was the 1600s. You're right. Yep.
You know this and I don't.
Well, mine is in the Edo period. So
I have it
right in front of me that you were right. 1600s.
Okay. So my source is on the Kappa, and there are quite a few of them. So bear with me. They were temple.edu, japanexperience.com, mythology.net, two mysterious universe articles, Wikipedia, of course, yokai.com, tofugu.com, and princeofjapan.com. Prince, P-R-I-N-T-S, not the royal prince.
I'm glad you clarified. I went the wrong way.
I know. I was like, who's the prince of Japan?
No, and it'll come up a little bit later why I used Prince of Japan, but it's a website that sells like antique prints.
Oh, like tapestries and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Nice.
So the Kappa is a member of the yokai, which are this really massive group of monsters and spirits and elementals all from Japanese folklore. And it's not specific. Yokai is just this big ass. Oh, yep. There we go.
We dropped it already.
It's a big ass group of things.
The first one.
We're only 5 minutes in. Good job.
I broke the cursing cherry. I'm sorry. Well, now we know. This includes everything from goblins and demons to ghosts, gods, humans, or sometimes animals that have been transformed. The word yokai is actually a combination of characters that mean attractive, bewitching, calamity, and mystery or wonder. So it's like yo and then kai.
I feel like I might be one of those. The calamity sounds like me.
Mysterious calamity.
Yep, that could be my middle name.
That's your new nickname. If you were a stripper, it was Mysterious Calamity. She just gets up there and knocks
I've always
over.
Wondered, and now I know.
Mystery solved.
Everybody needs a stripper name. So, what are kappa? Amphibious demons, imps, or water deities, and they love, love, love fresh water, like rivers, lakes, marshes, etc. Young kappa often live in family groups, but adult kappa are often solitary, though they may befriend other yokai. So they don't hang out with other kappa, but they'll find other yokai to hang out with. And there are so many of them, so it's probably not that hard. They're very small creatures, usually 5 feet or shorter, generally described as being no larger than a child. So they describe 5 feet or shorter as being no larger than a child, but Japan is mostly 5 feet or shorter. So it's basically the same thing as being an adult in Japan, but it's a child here, which is my height. I am the same size as a kappa.
I'm only slightly taller than a kappa, so it's good to know.
Than the average height of a kappa. Who knows?
Okay.
You might be a freakishly large kappa. We don't know.
I had a lot of milk.
So this is probably why they're also known as a water child, which is one of the kappa's many, 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 many nicknames. There's a ridiculous number. It was something like 80 or more nicknames that it's known by. How do you keep track of them at that point? How do you know what you're even talking about?
Yeah.
So the other characteristics, the descriptions, they can vary a bit from region, which is pretty typical when you have something that's like a cryptid that's nationally recognized, but you have different regions that have their own takes, kind of like the Wendigo in North American, Native American culture.
I was just thinking that.
Mm-hmm. And it varies a lot. They have certain base stories or characteristics that are the same across the board. And then everything else is like whatever works for the region.
Yep.
Usually they have a humanoid form that may be seen as bipedal or quadrupedal. And they have yellowish green or blue skin that might be scaly like a reptile's or smooth and slimy, more amphibian-like. Sometimes the skin is described as removable, which is freaking nasty.
Ugh.
I'm grossed out.
That just reminds me of something from Lovecraft Country that I don't want to think about right now.
Okay, well, then we'll move on to something a little... It's still gross, but it's not as gross.
Okay. Yeah.
So they have a beak, sometimes with teeth, sometimes without. And even the teeth vary in description. Sometimes they're described as shark-like. Other times they're just kind of like cat teeth or fish teeth. And I don't know. I think it'd be funny to see a beak with a whole bunch of human teeth in there, like a cartoon.
Kind of like a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. I just feel like that would be hysterical. They have webbed hands and feet and a turtle-like carapace on their backs. And they stink of fish, which is no big surprise because they're water-dwelling. So unsurprisingly, with webbed hands and feet, they're really fantastic swimmers, but they're really clumsy on land.
Yeah.
But still, even though they're small and clumsy, they are stronger than a full-grown man. So they're the same size as me, but stronger than a full-grown man.
They swim all the time, so...
They swim all... Yeah. What do you think? They're like the Michael Phelps?
I was just thinking that. I was like, they're the Michael Phelps of the yokai.
Oh, this is one of my favorite little facts about them. Some of the traits that I thought were the funniest were described on yokai.com, which said that kappa have three anuses, which allows them to cut three times as much cheese as humans. And it's like some weird, I don't know, something that they really enjoy. They like having three anuses and farting a whole bunch. And JapaneseExperience.com, which said that they have extendable arms like Stretch Armstrong. That last part's me.
I was thinking Inspector Gadget, like go, go, Gadget arms.
That's great. Okay. I just pictured like Stretch Armstrong, but when the arms get really too stretched out, so they're just kind of like...
Probably not as good for swimming.
So we have super short, very stinky, beak with teeth, webbed hands and feet, a shell, three buttholes.
Yes.
Which, you know, honestly, that's probably helpful. Let's be real. There are some days that three buttholes would make things a lot easier. Maybe they're onto something.
I will just keep the one.
You would definitely go through extra toilet paper. Like, are they all in a vertical line so you can just one swipe up it?
I was picturing like a trifecta. like a triangle.
So it's gonna look like when you put Play-Doh through one of those things.
Oh my god.
Like a pasta extruder.
Oh no. Don't bring pasta into this. Don't do it.
What did carbs do to you?
Oh my god.
Never eating spaghetti again. It's forever gonna be turtle butthole after this.
Turtle butthole.
All right, and extendable arms. We're not done, though. These weird creatures have more to offer. They may have shaggy hair that's cut in the style that was the bane of every 90s male child, the bowl cut.
No!
Mm-hmm. And they have this indentation on their head. It's called a Sarah. I'm going to call it Sarah. We'll go with Sarah, which is shaped kind of like a bowl, and it holds water. The Sarah is really important because for the Kappa, it's thought that this is where they get their power. So it's like secret holy water on their head, but in their head. It's weird.
What was that face, Ashley?
I am trying to picture this and I just can't.
Right? I can't picture the bowl cut with the indentation and then a beak and
with
the extendo
teeth.
Arms.
And then a carapace. Turtle shell?
Yeah,
what the hell does it look like?
Well, like a caved-in cranium with like a bowl cut.
Yeah,
like a.
It's complicated AF, man.
It's taxing.
I was picturing those like monks or were they friars that had like the line of the bowl cut, but like the bald on top.
Yeah, maybe that's how they do it. Maybe they put
There you go.
There you go. If they ever leave their watery homes, they have to make sure that the Sarah is full, or they might not have any of their powers with them. And they could become immobilized and die. So it's really important that they protect the Sarah.
That's a lot of responsibility for one bowl of water.
Yeah, especially considering they like to fight, which we'll get into in a little bit. But
oh, no.
How do you fight and keep the water up there? Do you keep one hand on your head like this?
Yes.
Duke it
and
out.
You just beat him up with the other arm because it's so stretchy.
It just seems overly complicated. If a person ends up face to face with a pissed off Kappa, a great way to defeat it is to get it to bow, spilling the water from the Sarah and weakening the creature. But if someone ever finds a Kappa that already has an empty Sarah, refilling it will make it so grateful that it will forever help you with whatever you need for as long as you live. Hashtag perks.
That's a sweet deal.
It is a sweet deal. Will it kill somebody for you? And dispose of the corpse?
It'll do whatever you need it to.
Note to self. Find and save a Kappa.
The look in your eye.
Dang, Linz, who do you have on your hit list?
You never know when you might need to dispose of something. It's just nice to have somebody on hand.
Never piss off Lindsay.
If you know for sure she has a Sarah, or not a Sarah, a Kappa. So there are some depictions of the Kappa as these hairy, ogre-like creatures. In these cases, the Kappa are known as Hayosube. Not entirely sure how to pronounce it. I should have looked it up. I usually do, but apparently I was too lazy because I didn't note it in here. So there you go. And that's all you'll hear about the hairy ones.
I would imagine being smoother would make swimming a lot easier. Kind of like how professional swimmers
tend
to shave.
Yeah.
They might have like that waterproof
pelt.
Yeah, beavers and otters do it, man. Why can't Kappa?
No, I'm picturing a beaver with a turtle shell
and a sunken in head.
The first time I read Harry Kappa, which is just funny to think about Harry Kappa. Personality wise, the Kappa are kind of, I'm going to curse again. They're assholes. They're mischievous. They often they're seen as pranksters or trickster spirits, and they can be very dangerous or even deadly. In short, to just kind of summarize it, they're depicted as both good and evil. They can have some good aspects when they're very helpful, but a lot of times when they're helpful, it's only because they're not really given a choice.
Or because they want something in return.
Yeah. Like when you fill their Sarah, they're helpful to you forever after that, but they don't necessarily really want to help you out. It's just part of their code because they have really strict code, which is interesting. When it comes to pranks, most of what I found had to do with farts or picking up kimonos, which if you've ever seen a kimono, that's actually really quite a feat because they're typically really long. So the fact that these guys managed to pick up a kimono, you know what? I have to kind of give it to you. You worked for that one. I think how they do it is actually they really enjoy hanging out in bathrooms. So I think they're like down below. They're not really peeking under a kimono. I think they're looking up through the porthole.
Gross.
That's like, super disgusting.
It is really gross. These guys are naughty, naughty. I'm going to have a warning at some point here because there's some stuff they do that's really not cool. Aside from fart jokes and immature pranks, they apparently also really enjoy sumo wrestling, and they never pass up the chance to battle it out. And for some reason, they really get a kick out of harassing travelers. I don't know what it is about travelers, but they really like to just pick on somebody that's just walking by. But their malevolent actions, they're pretty freaking awful. So this is where it might be triggering. You may want to fast forward about a minute if you don't want to hear triggering information. Kappa like to lure people, especially children, to the water where they will drown them. And they also really like to attack cattle, horses, and they'll drown them. And there are still to this day signs and depictions all over Japan that show kappa attacking animals or that warn swimmers of the potential for kappa to be present in the water. So there are warning signs around bodies of water that say, watch out for kappa.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that it's that much part of their culture that it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So these creatures are reported to drink the blood or eat the entrails of their victims. But they don't just cut the entrails out, which is what you would assume, that they'd cut it out and eat it that way. That would be way too boring for a kappa. Instead, these three anused beings have a fascination with butts. So they will suck the entrails out through the tuchus. That's how they get their dinner.
Oh, okay, I'm good.
It makes me think of centipede.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
There are also stories of them hanging out in toilets, like I said, which I guess toilets used to be situated near or over rivers, which makes sense. You'd drop it and let it go downstream so somebody else could deal with it. So they would wait around these toilets for women to come along, and then they would assault her. The women would later give birth to a kappa child, which of course was just absolutely disgusting. This is a dirty, dangerous thing. Humans don't want it around. So the children were cut into pieces and buried in jars.
Hmm.
The children were identified as kappa by their awful appearance. A lot of times it was, oh, this baby's skin is way too red. By the way, that's what babies look like when they come out, which makes me think that there were probably a lot of children with birth defects or just, you know, they're coming out, maybe they had oxygen deprivation or something, that were horribly killed out of fear of it being a kappa.
Sad.
It is sad. According to legend, one of the biggest reasons they're thought of as really awful is not because they drown children or suck your entrails out through your butthole or assault women. It's because they're obsessed with something called a shirikodama, which is basically a person's entire essence. It's like their soul or life force or something. It's contained in this jewel thing or a rock or something, but it's inside of us. We carry it around inside of us. And where do you think this is? Where do we keep it?
It's in our butts. I quit life.
It's in the butts.
I was going to say, it's in our butts, isn't it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we keep it in our butts. Because where else would we put something that is that important?
I keep all my precious things in my butt.
I wonder if they came up with this idea like somebody was smuggling jewels and they shoved it up their butt and somebody got in there like, oh, how did you get that up there? And that's my soul, put it back.
I'm not concerned that somebody took it away from you in the first place. I'm more concerned that you have to be like, put it back. Like, why did they take it from you?
Well, cavity searches, I'm sure, have always been a thing.
That's true.
Probably.
I'm sure throughout history, mankind's been like, I don't have any pockets. Where can I stick? So the kappa are really crazy for this jewel, and they'll kill to obtain it. So that's part of why they will drag things into the water and drown them. And that's why, of course, they suck the entrails. Based on what I understand, which could be completely wrong because I'm not Japanese. Their goal is that Shirikodama, the soul jewel, and then the entrails are just like this bonus meal that comes with.
So it's kind of like a happy meal?
Yes. That is exactly what I was thinking too.
It's exactly like a happy meal because everyone knows kids really want the toy.
Mm-hmm. That's what's the most important
there.
Part. And then they're all, oh yeah, chicken nuggets. Yeah, that's my favorite. Oh yeah, entrails. Woohoo. So like I said, that's probably why they suck it out through our butts. Yeah, it's two birds, one stone, basically.
Makes sense.
So there are some stories of these beings acting generously, like I said. They will perform acts like helping to irrigate fields or bringing fresh fish to a family. And the things that came up time and time again in my readings, though, related to medicine. So I saw this on almost every page. The Kappa are considered to be extremely knowledgeable, and they're credited with teaching about medical salves and bone setting. Which are
okay.
Which of course are really important things. And even though they really like to harass and hassle travelers, if a Kappa sees one that is sick or injured, it's going to nurse the traveler back to health. My only question is, after it nurses it back to health, does it then harass the traveler?
That's a good question.
Like, or suck its entrails out of its butthole for its butt stone.
Oh, are we calling it the butt?
The butt stone.
I'm sorry, the spirit butt stone. The soul butt stone.
Yes.
Sorry, Japan, as Americans. So now that we know what they look like and we know some of their good and their bad deeds, let's talk about how to defeat a Kappa.
Yes.
There are many ways to battle a Kappa. Appease it or trick it. You could take different routes depending on your mood or the situation. Two really common ways are to use its biggest weakness against it. First, the Kappa, they love cucumbers and other cucurbits and melons. It's said that they enjoyed this more than devouring children, which I would say is probably good. I would hope.
I'm going to go with good.
Good. Okay.
So yeah, definitely a plus.
Cool. Not the only one. A traditional way of protecting families during the Edo period. Hey, there it is. I do have a date here.
Ta-da.
Which was from 1603 to 1868. I did my research for some of it. Was to write the names of a family member on a cucumber. So they write the name, like they'd carve it or they'd paint it. They'd write it on the cucumber and then they'd chuck it into the water, especially before bathing. And this really just kind of keeps the Kappa happy. Happy Kappa.
Happy Kappa.
Sounds like happy camper.
Yeah, it does.
So this love of cucumbers is so ingrained in the culture that a cucumber sushi roll is known as a Kappa Maki.
Oh, okay.
Hoping I pronounced that correctly because I do not like sushi.
I don't either, so I can't help.
Raw fish, no go. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I will end up looking like a Kappa with three buttholes. It's just going to be bad.
That just happened.
Raw fish, not good. Hey, maybe that's where they came up with that idea.
Maybe it is.
Another popular way to defeat them was to trick them into bowing and spilling the water in their sera, which we talked about, that because that's that little divot that holds the water. People could challenge them to a sumo wrestling match because we know that they love to fight. They think they're just so cool. They freaking love sumo wrestling and they always think they're going to win. But one of the big things about sumo wrestling is both contestants have to bow before the match begins.
There you go. That's smart.
So you basically play them. This works. So one of the big reasons they will return that bow is because they're really obsessed with politeness. And it's incredibly rude to refuse a bow in Japan. Yeah, I know, right? They're obsessed with politeness, but they don't have a problem peering up skirts, assaulting women, or killing children.
Or sucking entrails through buttholes.
I guess if you're dead, that's not really an issue of polite or rude. If you're alive, that's definitely rude.
Yeah, that's true.
Leave that there.
At least buy me dinner first.
Makes the cleanup easy. So, because it's an easy way to trick a Kappa, some of them have caught on to the fact that we use this trick. So now they wear metal plates over their sera, which holds that water in there. Sneaky little bastards. Wow. So whenever they're out of the water, they can't lose the water that's in their sera. This one's funny. Apparently, if you're really sneaky, you can come up behind a Kappa and rip its arm off. and they'll do anything to have it returned. Apparently, it's just detachable.
Okay.
Yep.
Just rip it off there.
Not only is it super stretch arm, strong, powerful, but it'll just pop right off. Which, how do you have both? I feel like if you're really stretchy and you stretch too hard, is it just like, does it slingshot? Do you think it gets the...
I hope not, but probably.
Probably.
That elasticity. Yeah, has that to release do something. Goes,
that would be entertaining. You just see an arm go whizzing by. Also, being an aquatic creature, dehydration is a real issue. So, I guess if you just get them out of the water and you can keep them out, you can just kind of wait them out. Just an idea. They also really don't like things like iron, loud noises, ginger, sesame, deer antlers, which is just random. How did that happen? And monkeys, which I guess goes with loud noises because monkeys are not quiet.
That's true. Monkeys are pretty loud.
Just eat a whole bunch of cucumber, ginger, and sesame and you're set. Cap is like, nope, I don't want to touch you. When they're out of the water and they take their skin off, they do this so that they can sleep. They can't return to the water until they have that skin back. So if you steal it, you're golden. But why you would want to steal that, I don't know. I would not want to pick that up. I imagine that would just really piss them off. If they know who stole it, they're going to come find you, especially if they're smart enough to have one of those like little metal caps on there. Sarah? But my personal favorite way of battling them is through flatulence.
Because of course.
They're just obsessed. According to tofugu.com, they can dish it out, but they really can't take it. There's an old print from the late 1800s. It's called Comic Pictures of Famous Places in the Early Days of Tokyo. And this is where I went to princeofjapan.com so that I could verify. Because I saw this on multiple sites and I was like, I want to verify this is actually a real thing and it's not just something modern somebody made up to go with this. No, it's from the late 1800s. So it's been around for at least 100 years. And the print depicts a kappa control method. And it's this guy that's bending over and farting into the face of this absolutely horrified kappa. The kappa's like, no! It's hysterical. Have you ever seen the video of the guy that's swimming in the lake and he thinks he's gonna fart but he poops and there's that trail behind him? It looks like that.
Oh god.
And there's some woman that's bowing in the background behind this guy, like shielding her face from everything that's happening. Which I thought was pretty funny. Yeah, obsessed with farts and butts, apparently.
Would jarred farts work?
There you go.
So, because they've been in Japanese culture for so long, kappa pop up all over the place. There are festivals and shrines to the creatures. There are even multiple temples that claim to have mummified remains of kappa. But as far as I know, none of them are on display. So you can't go see the kappa bones. And it's probably just mummified animal or person. But it's revered. It's a spirit. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a water god. They are regularly featured in pop culture. Everything from sake brands to credit cards. And of course, movies, TV, and video games. They are found... unsurprisingly, in the popular cartoon Yo-Kai Watch.
Yep.
Oh, I wonder
makes
why.
Makes sense.
Yeah, right? There's also a character in Animal Crossing called Cap'n, which is, in Western cultures, it's just a turtle, but in Japan, it's depicted as a kappa.
Oh, that's cool.
So I thought that was really interesting because that's so popular right now. But this is the reference that I could relate to the most because I'm old. And I think you two probably being almost as old or slightly older. Sorry, Lindsay, ancient.
Yeah, I'm basically the crypt keeper, let's be real.
You have a year on me, yeah?
Oh, stop.
In Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, when they go back in time to feudal Japan, the people in the movie viewed them as kappa.
Okay.
I vaguely remember that, yes.
And there are a whole bunch of theories about what might have inspired the kappa. What makes people believe in these creatures? What was there something real or is it just lore? What's going on? Sorry. One that I personally think is really unlikely is that villagers got confused about macaques bathing in rivers and thought that they were river monsters, which is just dumb because macaques are freaking loud. They're covered in hair. I mean, and they're all over Japan, aren't they? Or they're at least in the highlands of Japan. So they're common enough that people there want to know what the freak a macaque is. Mm-hmm. So I think that one's dumb. We'll throw it out. Get rid of that one. Sorry, whoever thought of it. You were dumb. Doesn't make sense. A more reasonable natural creature explanation is possibly the giant salamander. The Japanese giant salamander can grow up to 5 feet long.
What?
Which I would not want to run into that. That's as big as me. It does regenerate its skin, and they apparently stink. They're also carnivorous and common to the same kind of waterways that kappa are reported in. So that makes sense. I think that that's plausible.
Now I'm just picturing a giant salamander with a bowl cut.
That climbs out and's like, let's wrestle. A supernatural explanation is that they might be aliens.
Oh,
that's as much as I want to talk about that theory, because I love aliens, but we're not going to go down that road. That's a whole different trip.
Yeah,
I'm good with that.
I'm just bringing it up because it is a theory. There's, of course, a theory that it was just a story that was started to scare kids, which is a pretty common across all of history, all over the world. So it's thought that it was to scare kids and kind of keep them from wandering too close to the water and drowning or seeing what were known as leech babies. Do either of you know what a leech baby is?
I don't.
I didn't until I read about it, and I don't like it.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah. It's sad. Leech babies are sad. Sometimes they were just stillborns. Other times they were young children whose family couldn't afford to raise them, so they would be killed. And in either case, they were disposed of in the water. That was a really common way to dispose of things. Just throw it in the water and get rid of it. Which is dumb, by the way. If you're throwing it into your fresh water, you're spoiling your fresh water, dum-dums. Also, this is a person. So there's the belief that parents would use the tales of the kappa as kind of like a boogeyman to scare kids away from seeing it, which it was common enough that I could absolutely believe this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Even so, the kappa are still so commonly reported that it is considered to be like a legitimate cryptid. Hmm. Kind of like Bigfoot. There are enough reportings of it that it's really considered a cryptid, not just mythology or urban legend, or heard a little bit about it, but we don't have any, nobody's ever seen it kind of thing. There are actually quite a few contemporary-ish witness accounts, but I just chose a few to share. So there's a report from the 1970s of two officers who were driving down a country road near dusk when they saw this hunched over figure of what they thought was a child. But when it stood up, they realized that it definitely wasn't human. And it's described as looking like a cross between a monkey and a frog that had piercing eyes and ratchet claws.
Ooh,
so this thing, creepy. Yeah, it looked at them, made a chattering noise, which just grosses me out. I don't like chattering noises. And then it walked off into the woods on two legs.
Ew.
So chattering noise kind of sounds like something a monkey would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which they said it looked kind of like a monkey, so maybe. According to Tyken.com, in 1991, a family came home to this really stanky house. We've all been there. When they inspected their home, they found more than 30 wet footprints. But they weren't just wet. They were orange and about 5 to 6 centimeters long. Well, no, it didn't specify length. It didn't say whether it was long or wide, but they were 5 to 6 centimeters. Either way, that's tiny. It's only about 2.5 inches if you're American.
It's really small.
It's tiny, but there were 30 of them. So this has to be an itty-bitty animal. This doesn't sound like the normal description of a kappa to me. But the cops were called, so they came and they took samples because apparently there's really nothing else to do in Japan than come and take samples of what animal footprints in a house. They took the samples and they went and they ran chemical analysis on them, and they found that they were high in iron with a chemical composition similar to what would be expected in river water. I call bullshit. I call bullshit. If you were going to analyze river water, you'd find a lot of bicarbonate, calcium, magnesium, and iron. You definitely find iron. But if this thing is leaving colorful footprints, it's not going to be from water. It's going to be from sediment. Mm-hmm. And there is a totally different composition from sediment to water. I used to be an aquatic ecologist. There's a big difference between what's in the sediment and what's in the water column. So you can't say that I analyzed this and it looks like fresh water. Not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So that's the kappa. That's my stories of the kappa. I have a few other quick little things for you, but what'd you guys think of the kappa so far?
I'd date one.
Definitely a winner.
So Lindsay likes an ass man. That's what I'm hearing. I think they're really disturbing and they don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do not like it.
There are aspects to it that are just so funny from a person with a very immature sense of humor, which is me.
The buttholes.
Everything with buttholes and farts. I cannot stop laughing. But then there are parts of it that are so freaking dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. It would be fun otherwise.
Yeah. It'd be funny other than the killing and eating of children and the assaulting of ladies.
Yeah, definitely. That's not good.
No.
I almost feel like it would be if in Zombieland, Jesse Eisenberg actually turned into a zombie. It's funny, but messed up.
Feel like violated by that.
Does bad things, mm-hmm. but it's still Jesse Eisenberg, so you know it's funny bad things. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about the kappa.
Writers of Zombieland, please don't do that. I will quit you.
I haven't seen the second one yet. I have. Is it good?
It's so good.
Oh man, I need to see it. I was reluctant, but now I'm going to go watch it.
I was so nervous the whole movie because I was like, don't do anything you can't take back.
Every time they crap all over snowballs, it makes me sad because I love snowballs.
I do too.
I think they're so good.
They're good.
I would take that over a Twinkie any day.
Same.
Hear that, Zombieland writers? You messed up.
You picked the wrong snack cake.
The only thing is you can't deep fry a snowball. That would be a disaster.
Wouldn't work.
That'd be gross.
So the next cryptid I have for you is Jorogumo, also known as the Spider Woman or Spider Whore, which I thought you would be interested in. Spider Whore. I thought you would find
Spider
that.
Whore.
Spider Whore. Does whatever a spider whore does.
Worst theme song ever. So Spider Whore is another member of the yokai. Big surprise. They pretty much all are. I don't think I found a single cryptid that wasn't a member of the yokai. I don't know why they have like a classification, because is there anything outside of yokai? It's just one gigantic class. My sources for Jorogumo were Mythology Wiki, Wikipedia, and yokai.com. So like I said, these are just short ones, so I didn't find a whole lot of information, but they were kind of fun and I wanted to mention them. This is another cryptid that originates from the Edo period, or was at least popularized during that period. A Jorogumo is a shapeshifter that can shift between human, spider, and half-human, half-spider forms. The legend goes that when a golden orb weaver spider, which is a real spider, by the way, once it reaches its 400th birthday, it can suddenly feed on humans, which is just like, oh, yay, I upgraded.
I've leveled up.
I don't have to eat insects anymore. These beings live pretty much everywhere, from forests and caves to highly inhabited locations. And when they're in spider form, they're usually quite small, 2 to 3 centimeters or about an inch. So they're really, really tiny when they're spiders. But they can get much bigger. So even the real golden orb spider thing can get pretty big. They're pretty.
They're pretty.
They are. They're really vibrantly colored. They have these really bright, beautiful colors. They weave these really strong webs, both in reality and in lore. So they're cool. By the way, they have become invasive species in the U.S. Big surprise. Quit sending your shit over here, Japan.
We have enough bad things. We don't need more.
Jorogumo are extremely intelligent, they're solitary, and they're cruel, preferring to prey on handsome young men who are seeking love. When the yokai transforms into its human form, it's said to be an incredibly beautiful young woman that's really
spider
good.
Spider whore.
Yeah. That's where spider whore comes from. It's really good at deceiving men, and it lures them into her web, which the web's so strong the men can't escape. So then they use this powerful venom to very slowly kill the men, allowing the spider whore to savor the prolonged and painful deaths of their victims.
That's toxic.
After the kappa, I'm not surprised.
Well, the whole time you were describing like how she like lures the men into her super strong web, I was like, that's what she said. Is that what we're calling it now? All right. two words, tentacle porn.
You know what?
Oh, don't go there.
You know what I'll give them is they are creative.
They definitely are. And some of the stuff they come up with is great and I love it. And other stuff will haunt me forever.
Thanks, Japan. Jorogumo also have the ability to manipulate and control other lesser spiders, including the fire-breathing spiders, which they will, like, they'll send them to people's homes that suspect them, and they'll sick them on that house and have them burn the house down.
Arson spiders. I like it.
Everybody needs an arson spider. You're going to
need it. I mean, because then if the house burns down, you're just like, well, there was a spider there, so we had to burn the house down. So.
Made sense.
It does to me. I would burn the house down.
This house is dead to me.
Kill it with fire.
There are stories of the Jorogumo disguising itself as a woman carrying a baby, seeking help, but the baby's actually an egg sack, which is gross. Mm. Are they carrying that in their arms, or do they put it on their back, or what? I think Ashley does not like this part of the story.
Ashley hates this, but
I'm
that's
sorry.
Okay. It's okay. It's not real. Everything's fine.
Yep. River didn't like that part either.
River is just a demon.
Aw, poor little River. Other times, the being it disguises itself as a beautiful woman, it's going to play an instrument to lure a man to it. And then when he's distracted, it'll wrap him up. So apparently guys are really easy to distract. I don't think that's that far off base, though. Let's be real.
I'm just picturing her like playing like a sweet pan flute solo.
Yeah, she uses this instrument that's kind of like a Japanese lyre, from what I understand.
Okay.
Okay.
So she'll play that. But she's obviously sitting in front of him. She's gorgeous. She's playing something. He's paying attention to her. He's wrapped up in what's going on. So then does she have like this one spider arm that comes out and like wraps around when he's not? So he can't. I don't know.
I don't know
how that works. Does she sick her lesser spiders on him and they wrap him up and then she's like, ha, ha, ha.
Maybe it's that. That would make sense.
So the story that I found most frequently that related to her, these are some older stories. There's nothing that I could find that was contemporary. It's of a woodcutter that went to a waterfall. And in one version, he fell asleep and the wrapped his legs.
The spider whore.
Spider whore wrapped his legs with webbing, but when he awoke, he knew what was up. And he really quickly cut the strings and then tied them around a stump, which was then pulled into the water. She ripped it and pulled it into the water. So he goes back to his town and the locals become really scared of the area. Nobody wants to go around there. But a logger from out of town comes by and he does what loggers do. So he goes into the forest and he's trying to cut down the tree, but he drops his axe into the water. So you know how at the bottom of waterfalls, there's like a little pond. He drops his axe and then he goes in after it.
Don't do that.
He doesn't know what's going on. He goes in after it. So he gets into the water. And when he's down there, he comes face to face with this stunningly beautiful woman who handed him his axe and told him to never tell anyone what he'd seen, which how many guys actually keep secrets?
None.
I was just going to say, he told everybody.
So he did all right for a little while. But as is always the case when somebody tells you not to tell anybody else something, if somebody's telling you to keep this a secret, there's going to hit a point where you're like, I really need to tell somebody. If they didn't say you need to keep the secret, maybe you wouldn't tell anybody because they're going to think you're crazy. But the minute somebody says, this is between us, you're like, damn it. Oh, it's like Andy in Parks and Rec when he can't keep anybody's secrets and he has to keep the secret that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
It's exactly like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like freaking out and he almost tells.
Like breaking a sweat. Yep. Starts telling all these lies. Yep. It's just like that. So at some point he eventually just, he has to tell somebody and he does. He spills everything and he's so relieved that he gets to spill it. And he's like, this is great. Goes to sleep. Never wakes up again.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Another version of the story that's really similar is that the original woodcutter saw a beautiful woman by the waterfall and he fell in love with her. So he'd go to see her every day, but the more that he went to see her, the weaker and weaker that he became. And so this local Buddhist monk suspected it was the doings of a spider whore, because I'm not going to try to say it again. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
So he went with the woodcutter to meet the woman. And when a web came out of the pool and reached for the woodcutter, the monk just starts yelling and freaking out and shouting these curses or prayers or whatever, and the thread disappears. But the woodcutter's so in love that he kept returning anyway, until one day he became entangled in the web and was pulled under, never to be seen again.
So she's like a siren, but a spider.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
So how do you kill a spider whore? Any thoughts?
Salt.
No. I don't know either. I couldn't find it. I don't think poison's going to kill it.
Probably not.
I did see a report that you can see its true form in a reflection. So if you carry a mirror with you everywhere, at least you're warned about it. The only thing that I could think is to do what you do with other spiders like Ashley does, is just burn it. Carry some lighter fluid with you and a Zippo and just light that sucker on fire.
I'm down for that. Let's do it.
Be gone. There you go. And then my last little one here is really short. It's called the Itan Momen. It's really brief. It's all about Tsukumogami. I'm going to try that again. It's a Tsukumogami? No, I can't say it. It's known as Itan Momen, which is essentially this evil cotton wrap. And I thought this was so funny. Okay. So do you remember how I told you everything in Japan has a spirit?
Yes.
Okay. Tsukumogami are tools that have acquired a spirit. So that apparently includes long, narrow sheets of cotton. And from what I understand in some stories, this long, narrow sheet of cotton is also your roll of toilet paper, but it's evil toilet paper. They're about 10 meters long, which is 32 feet for the Americans.
Thank you.
They fly around at dusk or after dark, and they will attack people by wrapping themselves around the victim's neck and face to smother or strangle them to death.
I'm just picturing like winged toilet paper flying through the air and just like attacking people.
All the depictions of it, it looks like a big long sheet of toilet paper or like a roll of muslin that's just completely unfurled itself and wraps itself around somebody. But apparently there are quite a few contemporary sightings of this thing. I saw quite a few. There's one where a UFO society captured like this big cloth-like object flying around in the sky over Mount Roko. And there are other images where like I think a woman's walking her dog and you can see something like this behind it and it looks like a big ribbon.
Ooh,
so
that's creepy.
Evil toilet paper. It's flying around in Japan. Just watch out.
Don't like it.
I hate that.
And those are my Japanese cryptids for you.
Nice.
I have way too many links to share. So many freaking links. So I don't know if there's anything we wanted to share before our closing. I got a flu shot. I was going to show you my awesome Band-Aid, but there's nothing to show. I went and got a shot so that the boys could see that adults get them too because they freaked out about theirs. And the only thing that CVS had was little Minions Band-Aids.
Aww, that's awesome.
So I walked out of there with a Minion Band-Aid. And by the way, flu shots hurt.
They do hurt.
Yeah, they hurt more after your arm starts to feel like it's just turning into one solid piece of bone.
Ugh, I'm not a fan.
Me either. But I figured this year I probably should.
Yeah
I can see that.
You guys got anything special going on?
No.
My youngest just adopted a spotted salamander, so we have a new pet in our house.
That's fun. They're so cute.
They are very cute. She found it in the wild in our front yard.
Oh, the wild that is your front yard?
Yep. So,
do you live in a river?
Nope. But we do have a pond right behind us. Okay. And it had rained recently, so it was very damp outside.
I'll do it. They're cute.
It is very cute.
And you had nothing special going on, Ash?
I mean, I have an ongoing war with a toad that keeps coming into the yard, so I guess that's something. River really wants to eat it. Oh, River's my dog, in case anyone's unclear about that. So, I always have to pick it up, which I refuse to do with my bare hands, so I have to get, like, a napkin or something and scoop him and then toss him over the fence.
And then he comes back.
Yep.
Do you think it's actually your prince?
No.
Oh, okay. shot.
I don't have a prince. I'm convinced of that.
Do you think it's your prince of Japan?
Maybe. This is going to say, is it the Japanese prince?
It's actually a kappa in disguise.
I think I'm more likely to meet a kappa than a prince at this point.
So. Yeah, I think I figured out how to banish it from your backyard. Just fart in its general direction.
It's just like, nope.
Peace out.
Just tries to throw itself over the fence.
If River aggressively trying to eat, it's not getting rid of it. I don't know what will.
Oh, poor Toad. All right. Thank you for coming to visit our beautiful pizzeria and enjoying a unique slice of Japanese cryptid.
Yeah, there you go.
Pineapple Pizza Podcast. Sweet and cheesy. Not everyone understands our awesomeness, but we're glad that you do. Question.
If you're enjoying the show and you'd like to help support us, check out our TeePublic shop for some amazingly fun and funny merch. Or if you want to do a one-time donation, you can do that on buymeacoffee.com and buy us a fresh slice, because we can never get enough of basically anything, if we're being honest.
If you absolutely love the show and you want to check out some fantastic bonus content, you can become a donor on Patreon and earn all kinds of amazing benefits. We have 3 tiers to accommodate almost any budget: the $3 Mythbuster, the $7 Cryptid Hunter, and the $15 Storyteller. Become a patron today and start enjoying all the perks and extra content right away.
Don't forget, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PineApPizzaPod. That's PineApp Pizza Pod. You can also send us questions, comments, and topic ideas at pineapppizzapod@gmail.com. Don't forget, APP. That's important.
Thanks for stopping in for some deliciously weird morsels. And just remember, no matter how you slice it,
you're awesome.
And we love you.